Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, to say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We have this record of Bartimaeus. If you read Matthew and Luke, you'll notice that the one gospel tells us there were two blind men. Matthew tells us that he was an eyewitness and not just someone who wrote as inspired by the Spirit, listening to other witnesses. Matthew saw, evidently Bartimaeus was the one who spoke. And there is the difficulty of, well, the one gospel say they were leaving Jericho, another saying they were entering Jericho. There was the ancient Jericho and the Jericho that had been rebuilt by the Romans, where the Roman palaces were, where Herod had a palace, and evidently leaving one, entering the other. The difficulties of the text are not what I believe the Lord would have impress us the most about the text. We have two issues. One is physical blindness, and one is spiritual blindness. In the realm of physical blindness, just for your own information, Jesus healed more blind people than any other miracle that he did. We have specific reference to five people that were blind that he healed, and then references to the fact that he healed the blind, so there must have been many others that he did heal. And he did it a different way each time. In America, in the United States, every 20 minutes, someone loses his or her sight. So as we're here for an hour, three people will lose their sight. Of people polled, the most disturbing prospect of handicap, being handicapped in some way, the one that people fear the most is losing their sight. They would rather lose their arm or lose their foot or lose their hearing than lose their vision. And I believe that it's different for someone who has seen their whole life to lose their vision and then face that darkness than it is for someone who had never known sight in the first place to accommodate their lives to the capacities they do have to hear and to touch, and those things becoming very acute. I think it's a very desperate situation. You lose your sight. It's, you have slight advantages in that you're used to the way your house is arranged, you move around and so forth, but all of a sudden you're faced with a world that you've never developed capacities for. So people have across the board said, no, this is the thing as far as a handicap that I would fear the most. Now, and we'll come back to that. I'm mentioning that at the end of our study this morning in regards to losing our sight. Physical healing of blindness is a very interesting process, and as it happens, we have to understand it's more than just what we think. Someone can have the capacity of the eye in place and still not be able to see. Scientists have discovered that the human eye is really a radio receiver. It isn't what we think it is. It receives electromagnetic radiation, electromagnetic radio waves. And it receives long, low-frequency waves and short, high-frequency waves that are X-rays, gamma rays, and the spectrum of light in between those things. And those light waves, those electrical waves, pass through the clear cornea and the pupil, the lens, and then hit the retina in back. They're inverted, they hit the retina. And in the retina, there's a remarkable process, and I've read different estimates. I'll tell you one that I read by a doctor, that there is 110 million receptors in each retina, on the back of the eye. Those receptors are either cones or rods, and each one of them interprets an electrical wave and then sends a chemical to the brain in response to that, and it does it in 1/2000th of a second. And that eyeball is sending about 10 billion signals per second. If you can imagine that, 10 billion signals per second with all those receptors and to the brain. The cones are used during daylight with a general spectrum of light, daylight. And there's about 10 million of those, the cones. And the cones interpret over 1,000 different hues of colors, from light brown to dark brown, from light red to dark red, hues that we can hardly understand. And those cones, which are more towards the center of the retina, have the ability to take the light waves that fill this room and send all of these signals to the brain. Now, at nighttime, the cones don't function, but you have then 100 million rods that interpret a monochromatic light, which is like watching a black and white movie. It goes from gray to black. They're so sensitive, the 100 million rods, which are more around the peripheral of your retina, that's why sometimes at night, if you don't look directly at something, you see it clearer than if you look directly at it. Those rods, in that spectrum of gray, from gray to black, it's broken up into at least a billion different frequencies. They're so sensitive in that low grade of light, and so sensitive that they can see a single candle 5 miles away. So at nighttime, somebody lights a candle on a clear night 5 miles away, those rods are sensitive enough. Those 100 million rods interpreting those frequencies are sensitive enough to see that, let alone a star billions of light years away. Now, what we've discovered is this. It isn't just the eye that produces sight, because this century we've discovered it's the brain that interprets all of that information. In other words, all of that stuff is being sent to the brain, and the brain has categorized color, different frequencies, put everything together so that when we see a face, we see something, the brain understands. When a little baby's born, you notice them just looking, and they say the baby's... Well, what the baby's doing is the brain is learning to categorize all the information that's coming through the eye. We've discovered, and because I'm sure there are cat lovers here, I won't talk much about the experiments. We've discovered that if someone is... Well, we know there are cats in heaven because there's harps there, you know, but we've discovered... Come on. We've discovered that if someone is born with a clouded cornea over the part clear cornea, clouded clear cornea, where they never see, or doctors in the mission field run into someone who has never been able to see and they realize there's something they can do to fix that, that when they fix that person's sight, that person is totally confused. They don't see the way, it isn't like somebody just turns on the light. Because there's one part of the brain that perceives vertical lines. There's another part of the cortex that perceives horizontal lines. There's another part that perceives diagonal lines. And when somebody receives their sight, you can't show them a triangle or a square, simple geometric forms. They're completely confused about it. And it takes a while for their brain to learn to take that information and put it in all the right slots so that vision becomes what vision is to you and I. I'm saying that so that you understand the remarkable thing that happens when Jesus heals someone who has been born blind, he not only heals their eye, he heals their brain at the same time. He gives the capacity to the eye to see, and he gives a capacity that normally has to be learned to the brain to file all of that information so that when someone who's blind like Bartimaeus receives their sight, they immediately look at Jesus and follow him, and there's no learning curve. There's a remarkable thing that happens when Jesus heals someone who's blind on the physical. Now, the lesson for us as we look at Bartimaeus is not just a healing, it's a reproof, it's a rebuke in some senses, because of what he was able to perceive without physical sight. He's sitting by the side of the road and he's begging. This was a good time for beggars. It was the Feast of Passover. Everybody's headed to Jerusalem. And Jericho is one of the cities where many priests and Levites live, so there was a large population that would be migrating into Jerusalem. But more than that, the Jews who wouldn't travel through Samaria had come down the other side of the Jordan River. They'd cross over. Jericho was the gateway to Jerusalem in many ways. And there are thousands of people in transit. Great time for beggars, because people that are going to a religious festival usually feel more guilty than they do the rest of the year. And particularly if their conscience is bothering them, they see somebody blind. It's a good thing. Maybe if I give to this blind guy on the way to Jerusalem, God will cut me some slack when I get up there to the temple. You know the way we are. We believe in grace and always try to earn his favor. So it was a great time for beggars in that sense. Bartimaeus, blind, sitting by the side of the road, begging. And of course, his sensory perception is his hearing. And no doubt that to him is much more acute than it is to us. The same thing goes on with hearing. And scientists are amazed. They discover we can sit here in this room, you can listen to the sermon. At the same time, there can be a siren way in the distance. And as you're listening and you can continue to listen and hear that and file that and understand what it is, you can hear someone cough, you hear all of these things go on. And they're all different frequencies, and they're all picked up by the same mechanisms and divided and sent to different parts of the brain. But for someone who's blind, that is very acute. So here is Bartimaeus by the side of the road. There is the hustle and the bustle, the jostling, the crowds going by, the dust, the smells of food, the sounds. And he's sitting there with a river, no doubt, of voices, and once in a while a trickle of a particular conversation that he hears words of. And he's someone who's there and notices that day in his hearing that there's something different. Yes, there's this hustle and bustle, there's this jostle, there's all of these feet shuffling, but there's another excitement. There's something in there that he's hearing, a different color than he normally hears. And he says, Luke tells us to people, what's going on? What's happening? And someone says to him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now, what happens to Bartimaeus when he hears Jesus of Nazareth is passing by is it says that he begins to scream. He cries out, King James. That's a nice word for scream or shriek. It's the word that's used in the Bible sometimes when a woman is in the throes of childbirth. I've watched my wife do that 4 times. And other wives there in the same place. A delivery ward is not the kind of place you'd want to be at night with all the lights out. If you had to listen to that, get me out of here. Bartimaeus is doing that. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, thou son of David, have mercy. He's screaming because he's sitting there and he hears Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and there is an explosion in his heart because he has listened. We know that. He calls him the son of David. He has recognized this is the Messiah. He knows that Isaiah told us that when the Messiah came, he would open the eyes of the blind. He's no doubt had friends that were beggars, that were either crippled or blind, that's come to him and told him, Bartimaeus, you got to get to Jesus. How can I get to Jesus? I'm blind. How do I get to Jesus? Well, I don't know, but this guy's great. He spit and made mud and stuck it in my eyes and I can see now. And he's been hearing and seeing with insight much more than the religious leaders are seeing with eyesight. Because the religious leaders are saying to Jesus, show us a sign, show us a miracle, prove you're who you are. and who you say that you are. Bartimaeus, without physical sight, has put together the picture in his heart and his mind, and he knows that this is the Son of David, the prophesied Messiah that should come, that would heal the lame and open the eyes of the blind and raise the dead and preach the good news. He knows that. And when he hears Jesus of Nazareth, he asks the crowd, who's going, what's happening? They say Jesus of Nazareth. He doesn't say Jesus of Nazareth. He says the Son of David. With their eyes, they say, oh, it's Jesus of Nazareth passing by. In his heart, he explodes and starts to scream because it's a once-in-a-lifetime situation. He's near me. He's close enough to be heard. I can hear the jostling in the crowd, so then he can hear me if I scream. And he begins to scream, thou Son of David. Now see, he is a rebuke to the religious parade, and that's what it is. It's filled with priests and Levites and people going to do their duty. It's a religious parade. There is a religious parade all over this nation this morning. And when you read the percentages of people who do not believe in the virgin birth, they don't believe that the scripture is the word of God, they don't want to talk about sin and hell and redemption and Jesus Christ being the only way, you realize there is a religious parade across this nation with people that have eyes that can see. And Jesus stops dead in the crowd because the thing that the Father had led him there to do was to come to Bartimaeus. And all that Jesus was longing to hear was that desperation. And would to God in the religious parade in this country that there was some desperation. That someone was crying out saying, I'm a sinner. That all of this is true, that there is one way to be saved, and that Jesus Christ has died for me, that he loves me, and Lord, if you're there, save me. That people would sense in their hearts and be desperate. And it stops Jesus in his tracks. All of the hustle and bustle, all of the sounds, all of the thousands of people, none of it stopped him. The one thing that stopped him was the desperation in the title, Thou Son of David. And he stops. He says, bring him to me, Jesus. Luke says they brought him to him. What an interesting process now. Somehow, Bartimaeus has stepped past the stigma of the reason you're blind is because God is getting you. You remember John chapter 9 with the blind man. Jesus' disciples said to him, who sinned, this man or his parents? That was the stigma, theologically, of the day. If you were blind, it was because of God. So he was raised by parents somewhere. He must have spent his life, why me, God? What did I do? What did my parents do? Where's the hidden thing? Why is this going on? But all of that was religion. That was part of the religious parade. The reality was Jesus. And at this moment in time, there's some transaction between the heart of Bartimaeus and the heart of Jesus in the crowd. Only the two of them know about it. And I hope today, if you don't know Christ, you're sitting here, that there's some transaction of the heart that goes on between you and him that no one else around you knows about. Bartimaeus is crying out, not just with his mouth, with his heart. He's not asking for alms, for money. He's asking for mercy. He's going to ask for healing. He's going to ask what you would ask no human being for. And Jesus stops in his tracks and says, bring him to me. Now, you have to imagine, because Bartimaeus doesn't know that Jesus stops there. So he's still screaming, Son of David, Son of David. They're saying, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. This isn't the disciples. Leave alone. And finally, someone comes to him and says, no, you be quiet, be quiet. No, no, Son of David. He said, no, no, he's calling for you. Stop, stop, stop. He said, he is. And they took him by the hand and they lifted him up. Now, remarkably, it says that when they came for him, he took his mantle and he threw it away. That was his means of income. It kept him warm every night. It was his house. He laid it in front of him every day when he begged. That's where people threw money. He threw away his means of sustenance. By him throwing that away, he was saying, I know I won't need this anymore. When I get to Jesus, I will no longer be a beggar. He's going to receive me. He's going to heal me. I mean, it would have been terrible if he got to Jesus and Jesus said, here's 50 cents for your cup, boing. And then he's like, where's my coat? He threw away. And some of us hold on so tightly to our sustenance. We hold on so tightly to what we trust in, our security blankets. And we hear, he's calling you. He wants total commitment. Bartimaeus got nothing to lose. Throws it all away. Coming to Jesus. What was it like? They're leading him by the hand, step by step. Now the whole crowd has come to a screeching halt. Everybody stopped. Before they were saying, leave the master alone, leave the master alone. Now they come to him and say, be of good cheer. Jesus is calling for you. Their whole tune changes. Bartimaeus is being led. He doesn't know whether Jesus is 3 steps away now or 50 steps away. His heart must be pounding. He's being led. He's being led. He's being led. And at some point, someone lets go of his hand. Now he's standing there, face to face with the Son of David, not seeing him, but knowing. He must be going boom, boom, boom. I can almost hear his heart pounding. And he hears a voice that says, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Imagine that, a blank check. Well, of course, what is he going to say? He's not going to say, I've always wanted a moonwalk. I could never get it down. What wilt thou that I should do unto you? He knows what he's going to hear. That I might see. That I might see. That I might walk. That I might see the things I smell. That I might see the things I listen to. That I might see what children look like. That I might see a bird through the air. That I might see you. That I might see. Give me my sight. All because he's willing to be led to Jesus. All because he knows his own condition. He is willing to confess his blindness. He is desperate. He is honest. He is genuine. So many people in the world are never willing to admit their condition. Oh, I don't need Jesus. I don't need religion. I don't need this. Wait till that person gets on the deathbed and they're rethinking life. And they realize how frivolous all of this is. You know, this world, it assaults our senses. It assaults them continually. Here's a man without eyesight, filled with insight, that is willing to be led to Jesus. If he was like us, he'd just say, Dad, don't touch me. I'll find it myself. You know, just through thousands of people. He's willing to be led to Jesus. No big deal to Bartimaeus. He's been led his whole life. Everybody's led him. His parents, they lead him out to where to beg every day. He's always been led. And somehow we get offended because our friends want to lead us to Christ. We've been led our whole lives. I grew up in the 60s. I wore bell bottoms because I was led to wear bell bottoms. I didn't invent them. I didn't say I want my pants fatter at the bottom than they are at the top. I didn't say I like tapestry vests. I didn't say I'm changing from sneakers to moccasins. I didn't, there was a trend. There was a movement in the culture and in the society, and we were led by that. People are led by that today. You didn't just decide to go to the pet store to buy your jewelry. It was a trend. Somebody decided to do that. Somebody didn't wake up and say, I want a purple mohawk. I can't believe I put up with normal hair my whole life. No, there's a trend. We're led. We receive what gets put on the menu by the media, by edutainment, and by the instruction book, and by the rules, and by the laws of the land. And we spend our whole life being led. And then somehow we get offended when someone wants to lead us with someone that can't be seen with the eye. You see, Jesus can't be seen with the eye. We know that because Bartimaeus saw him and the Pharisees didn't. Bartimaeus saw who he was without sight, and the Pharisees, who had the capacity, could not see who he was. And it's the same with you and I when we want to lead a friend to Christ. We're trying to lead them to someone who can't be seen with the eye, and they resist. Human pride, fear, whatever it might be. Oh, that God would find a measure of desperation. And what about us? What about me? You know, it says in the ages to come, he's still going to be revealing to us his grace and his mercy. It says we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. How desperate am I? When I sit at home, when I take my leisure, how desperate am I? I'm a pastor. I should be desperate. It's hypocrisy for me if I'm not desperate, if I'm not saying, Lord, I need to see more of you. Show me wondrous things out of your word. If I'm walking around with some plaque or some title and I'm a born-again Christian, I'm this. How desperate are we in these last days where everything that appeals to our physical senses is being heightened and we so desperately need to see more of Jesus? You and I, all of us. How desperate are we? Would to God that he heard desperation coming from the crowd. One voice is enough to stop him. One person. And how guilty am I if I know that and don't do anything with it? How guilty am I if I preach that this morning and tonight before I go to bed, don't get on my knees and say, Lord, I'm desperate, Lord, to see more of you. To be closer to you, Lord. Not to play church, not to be part of the religious parade. To pray, Lord, to find you, to see you. That's why Bartimaeus is put in front of us. Not for blind people to read, for people through the ages, the vast majority of people who would read this account would not be people who are reading Braille. It would be people with eyes that are reading it. Oh, I hope it gives hope to every blind person to come to Christ and say, Lord, you can heal my eyes. And I believe he does heal. But more than that, what about the untold millions of us that see physically, that don't take the time sometimes to sit and to see with our hearts? What is it that you want me to do for you? What a moment. What a remarkable meeting. That I might see, Lord. Now, it's interesting because he says that I might see. King James says Lord, but the word is Rabboni. It's only used by one other person in the Gospels. That's Mary Magdalene, the morning of the resurrection. When he says to her, Mary, and she finally recognizes his voice and says, Rabboni. Which is more than just rabbi, it's my precious master, my precious teacher. What do you want from me, Bartimaeus? Rabboni, that I might see. He already had 20/20 vision spiritually because he says, my precious master, that I might have physical sight, that I might see. Go your way, your faith, what your faith has already seen has made you whole. Go your way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. Immediately his eyes and his brain were healed. All the categories opened up. All the dendrites fired. Immediately experience was placed in his mind. And what did he do? He followed Jesus. Where else is there to go? The first thing he saw was Jesus. You know, Fanny Crosby, the famous hymn writer, said, I am not bitter about being blind because I know the very first thing that I'm going to see is the face of Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus, go your way, Bartimaeus. You can see now. You are my way, Lord. Where else is there to go? He followed Jesus. He joined the pilgrimage. He went to Jerusalem. And by the fact that they know his name and they mention him, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, must have become a disciple, must have watched the Passion Week, must have watched the triumphal entry, must have watched the cleansing of the temple. He must have been there and at the crucifixion and the resurrection and, oh, what things he saw. What things he saw within a few days. How remarkable, how wonderful for somebody who's blind to receive their physical sight. And I believe we should pray for those things. The Lord still heals. But it's interesting that Americans say the thing they fear the most is losing their sight. The darkness, that's what they say. To go from visibility to darkness. Isn't it interesting? Christian pollsters, in the world of evangelism, when they figure out the population of the earth, over 6 billion, what percentage claim to be Christian by name only, and what percentage of that is genuinely born again? Conservatively, extremely conservatively, they figure that every second someone dies without Christ and goes into outer darkness. Every second, 60 people per minute, 3,600 people, conservatively over 4,000 people, while we've been here in this hour, have slipped into outer darkness, never to see again. Never to be healed of that. And the more scientists tell us today, the more remarkable it is, because they say we're discovering that when light goes past a black hole, it's sucked into it. The density is so great, we're realizing that light is matter. It's not just, it's actually matter. And that darkness, there's dark matter out there in the universe that is not just the absence of light, that darkness is something in and of itself. And that people that die without Christ face darkness eternally. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, what a simple decision. Christ comes. All he wants to hear is you be honest about your desperate situation. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I'm an adulterer. I'm a drug abuser. I'm a self-righteous, pompous, old, empty, whatever. And my heart is empty, and I'm in the religious parade, and I don't know you. I know about you. I've heard about you. I don't know you. I need you to be my Savior, the Son of David. Heal me. If you're willing to do that this morning as we sing the last song, and I'm going to have the musicians come, what we want you to do is from wherever you are, you just come down the aisles and stand here. We want to give you a Bible. We want to give you some literature to read. But you listen closely if there's a transaction that no one around you knows about that's taking place between your heart and the heart of Christ. Today is the day to respond to that. And you come and you receive Jesus as your Savior and have your eternity in light secure. Never to be blind, never to face darkness. And as Christians, what a great time for us to lift our hearts, maybe our hands, and say, Lord, open my eyes. We sing that song, open my eyes, Lord, that I might see Jesus. We hear the psalmist say, show me wondrous things out of thy word. Let me perceive, Lord. Give me understanding that it's more than the physical organ of seeing. It's something inside. How desperate are we? How desperate am I? Bartimaeus, how great to see him in heaven and say, I'm so thankful for your honesty. Your life was such a reproof to me in a wonderful way, bro. Great time for us as believers to cry out. Let's stand.